Sonic Tales Season 6, Our Picks.
It's going to be really exciting because you've got a chance, if you missed them the first time around, to listen to some of our very best plays.
Join us as we share some of our favourite original radio plays produced right here at Eastside Radio.
Our Picks.
Our Picks.
Our Picks.
Hey there, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Sonic Tales. I'm your host, Tegan Nichols, and on tonight's show, I'll be bringing you another of our favourite picks from our past seasons of the Sonic Tales project. This episode will be rebroadcasting a play originally aired as part of our third season of Sonic Tales back in 2012. It has been written by Gaz Simpson and is entitled Elegy Delivered in a Country Pub. The play has been performed by Moya O'Sullivan, who delivers a natural and nuanced performance as a bar owner in a small, remote country town in rural Australia. It shares an authentic insight into the unique culture of rural Australia, including some of the difficulties faced by those individuals who don't quite fit in. Writer Gaz Simpson joins me for a Q&A after the play to discuss his process in writing Elegy and his own experiences growing up in the bush.
My background is absolutely to do with the rural sector. I was born and bred in the bush. My family come from the bush, and we're country people. Although I live in the city and currently involved in theatre world here, my background is the country, so I understand the rural scene.
We'll hear more from that interview with Gaz later on in the show, but first, we here at Sonic Tales would like to proudly present to you one of our favourite picks, Elegy Delivered in a Country Pub. We hope you enjoy it.
Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother 'cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you, walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're awaiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
What a great track from our old favourite, the one and only Glen Campbell. Good on you, Glen. When are you coming to visit us out here in the far west? You visited Sydney. There's lots of little towns in the outback New South Wales that would give you a great welcome. I can guarantee it. No risk. Now, on to local football news. The Glenrock Juniors this Saturday will be playing...
Oh, no, you don't. Bloody local radio. Country and western crap in between bloody football news. Oh, I'm so sick of it. The world might be coming to an end, and we would hear nothing about it out here. Oh, well, well, well. What do you know? A customer. Sorry to be caught talking to myself just then. Oh, it happens to a lot of us in the bush. We're all a bit potty. Anyway, welcome to our little town. And to my pub. The best pub in town. No. The only pub in town. Oh, well. I feel like a bit of company. Bloody empty bar. Well, that's nothing new for the day before pension day. Come on, come in. Don't stand there like a dill. Now, what can I get you? Right. Here you go. a cool one coming up. Passing through. Yeah, we get a lot of passes through here. Well, you know, they have a beer, use the loo, and chew through. Don't blame them, really. I got beds here, though, if you change your mind. Not very smart, but they're clean, I can guarantee that. Yeah, I mean, you know, stay the night. Have a look around the place. Bloody ghost bar, this. Wait till Saturday. They'll be here in the pub then. Keep them home Saturday night, after the football. You've got to be joking. Then there's old blokes, like Tomo. On pension days, they'll be sitting here at the bar, drinking like the only men left in town, which, by the way, is highly likely considering the way this place is heading. Anyway, you know, I don't care if no one comes in. I'm done in. Didn't get much sleep last night. Oh, well, it's just this place gets me down sometimes. I say to myself, what am I doing here? You know, I thought I'd just come, buy a pub, make a fortune and piss off to the Gold Coast or somewhere. Well, it hasn't quite worked out that way. You know, they say I'm a bitter woman. Well, why wouldn't I be? Well, it's like living in a graveyard. Oh, anyway, I've been here too long. Fitzgerald's pub. Old Ma Fitz. That's me. Queen of the May. Rules with a rotten tongue and a boot in the bum, if you don't behave. Yeah, they say I'm a legend. I feel like one too. What was it that W.C. Fields said? Something like, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Well, on the whole, I'd rather be anywhere but here. Oh, of course, there are compensations. It's given me the opportunity to mix with old-world charmers, like the piss pots on Pensioner's Day. Oh, God, I don't know. Great little town, they'll tell you. Lived here all my life, they'll say. Never thought of going anywhere else. Why would you, they ask. Nice people, good air, quiet, great grazing country. Not bad for cropping. Minerals back in the 30s. 6 pubs in the old days. Who gives a stuff? There's 1 pub now, and that'll be going as soon as I can get my act together. Deep down you love the place, they say. Well, otherwise you wouldn't be here. It's bullshit. Population? Buggered. Well, it's buggered if I know. Let me see. Around about 1,000, I suppose. Oh, mostly old-timers. Why any young person stays here, I'd never know. I'd be out tomorrow if I could afford it. The trouble with this town is we're slowly closing down, shutting shop, giving up the ghost. Well, the banks have gone. The hospital has closed down. The trains no longer run. The bus can't get here because the bridge is out. We're practically out of water. This year's crop has more or less failed. And try and get a job. Oh, forget it. I mean, as for arts and entertainment, well, the ladies' sewing group make a handy tea cosy. And there's the excitement of the annual bell ringers concert in the School of Arts. Oh, yes, this is a great place to the dead and dying. Look, the town has a great history, they say. It'll get right again. They talk about the smart young people coming through who will keep the town alive. Yes. Where are they then? Anyway, look, let's have a bit of music to cheer us up. I'll get our local radio and I'll give it a go.
Can't beat those unbelievable $1 blokes. Lots of guts, make no mistake. They're a dead cert for next Saturday's big match at $1 Oval. Go for it, $1. Now, how about a little bit more from our old country great, Chet Atkins?
I try. I really try. But all we get out here is that country and western. Plus, of course, the bloody football. What? You mean that writing over there on the fence? That's a bit of our local graffiti. That's what that is. Well, I suppose you might think of it as a bloody disgrace. Right opposite my pub, too. Well, first thing you see when you come into town, my pub and that message. Oh, God knows what strangers must think. Well, it doesn't seem to put the locals off, though. You know, there's a story behind that graffiti. If you've got time to listen, I've got time to tell it. Have another beer. Now, that house across the road, over there, behind the fence. Well, it's a sad place, you see. To start with, the woman who lived there had a pretty crook life. Years ago, her husband walked out on her. Oh, Christ knows what happened to him. A wool classer or something. Well, he left her with a kid, a boy, about, I don't know, 4 or 5. However, she managed to cope. She used to teach music at the local convent. Piano, I think. Anyway, she had the house and the kid. Seemed okay. Didn't get around much, though. You know, the boy went to school here, and he grew up to be a pretty nice sort of kid. Didn't seem to get into much trouble. He used to play the guitar. You'd often hear him at it. And then his mother, she'd be playing music, classical sort of music, you know. I rather liked it, as a matter of fact. Much better than the crap the pisspots put in the machine over there. Oh! And 100 times better than the band I pay, keeping the mob spending up on Friday and Saturday nights. You know, when the kid was about, oh, I don't know, 14, about 5 years ago, I started to pay him to do a bit of cleaning up on weekends. He did a good job, too. We used to get to talking, you know, and, oh, I don't know, about all sorts of things. I guess I became a kind of a mother confessor or something, because he used to tell me things about school. Good things, sometimes. But every now and again, about having no real friends. No real mates. I had a feeling he could have been bullied, but I never asked him. He told me, oh dear, he told me he wanted to be an orchestra conductor. Well, and that seemed to me a bloody good idea, seeing as he used to go around always singing around the place and waving his arms around. You know, when he left high school, like all kids in this town, oh, he had real trouble getting a job. So I kept him on. He started to dress up a bit, you know, a bit trendy looking. It was about then that he started to come to the pub to drink, mostly of a Saturday. Well, That's the big night, especially after the footy. The poor kid used to stand around trying to fit in. It never seemed to work. I really felt sorry for him, you know. Sadly, he didn't fit the locals' idea of manly. You know, butch. And believe me, butch is the image young blokes out here study from the cradle. And he didn't talk the local lingo either. You see, everybody in this town is sport mad, particularly football. If there's a bloody ball to be thrown, kicked or hit, a race to be won, whether it's between humans, animals or insects, they'll follow it and they'll bet on it. And they'll talk about it for hours. In fact, that's about all they do talk about in this forgotten hole of a place. Then, about 4 months ago, it was a real rough Saturday night. The local team had just beaten some out-of-towners. Everybody was here, and the grog flowed like the mighty Murray. I had trouble keeping up the supply. Oh, but I'm not complaining. Anyway, around about midnight, there was some sort of a brawl out the back. Then I see the kid from across the road come out through the bar, looking a bit roughed up, clothes hanging everywhere. He didn't say a word, he just went off home. Pretty soon after that, I pissed them all off, went to bed, and I thought no more about it. Next morning, I looked out the window, and there it was, scrawled right across the fence in red paint. Poofter's Place. Can you believe it? Poofter's Place. His mum was trying to get it off with a scrubbing brush. Poor bugger. Well, wasn't too long after that. We heard the shot. Yeah. The young bloke did himself in that afternoon. Right over there. Behind the fence. Bloody tragedy. It's not the first suicide out here, I can tell you. Yeah. We go in for suicides in this town. Especially young blokes. If you're not butch, well, you buggered. And wouldn't you know, they gave him the biggest funeral the district has seen in years. Every kid in town turned up. Can you believe it? After keeping him out of their lives for so long, when he's dead, they treat him as a mate. What happened to his mother? Oh, well, she left the house and everything in it after the funeral. Oh, hasn't been seen since. About the graffiti, well, it seems like no one wants to touch it. Perhaps it's a sort of reminder of how things could have been better. Anyway, eh? Another beer. No? You've changed your mind? Decided to stay a while. Well, I told you the beds are clean. Bring your stuff in and I'll russen up some food.
Thank you. knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
By Gaz Simpson. Directed by Jill Folsom. Performed by Moya O'Sullivan and Rob Thomas. Sound production by Alex Reiter and Hugh Nicholas. Production coordinator, Tegan Nichols. Produced for East Side Radio by Jill Folsom. Made possible by grants from the Rodney Seaborn Playwrights Trust and the City of Sydney.
Sonic Tales Season 6.
Sonic Tales.
Sonic Tales Season 6.
Our picks.
Our picks.
Sonic Tales Season 6. Our picks.
The only show devoted to bringing you Australian radio play.
So, Gaz, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted to do so.
Right. So, Elegy delivered in a country pub. We broadcast this play originally as part of Sonic 3, Season 3 of Sonic Tales. So it's been a while since the listeners have heard it. In terms of the play, where did the idea for the play come from for you?
Well, very much from my background. My background is absolutely to do with the rural sector. I was born and bred in the bush. My family come from the bush, and my son is a cattle herder, if that's the word, or cattle grazer. We're country people, although I live in the city and currently involved in theatre world here. My background is the country, so I understand the rural scene, as it were. And particularly, I've been concerned for some time now about the suicide rate for young people in the bush. It's really quite astonishing and very upsetting. And so that was the inspiration, really, for the play. The suicide situation for young men in particular, and I suppose more particularly still if the young person is different in some way.
Because the play really deals with themes of discrimination against people who are different.
Absolutely.
And in the play, while it isn't, you know, specifically outlined, it's you can sort of assume that the young person who's been suffering that kind of violence has been that violence is based on a discrimination for being part of the LGBTI community. Why write a play about this issue?
Well, I wanted people to be aware of the suicide problem, but in point of fact, that which happened in the play did happen. A young person was so treated. He was that the wording on the fence did take place.
Really?
So it was an actual occasion.
Wow.
And so it's based on fact.
Was this something that you remember from your own community, or was it something that you'd read about?
No. It was a community where my son's property is. Wow. It's not fanciful. So I decided to make it into a play situation, and I use the idea of a monologue where a local woman describes the circumstance. I was also impressed with the idea that I knew that I had a wonderful actress able to capture immediately the sort of person I had in mind to tell the story. Moira Sullivan is such a talented actress. When I gave her the script, she read it immediately without any mistakes. She picked up the characterization without having to have multiple rehearsals. In fact, I think we had one read through, and we thought, well, we can't improve it. Because, I mean, Moya is a woman who's played many, many roles in Australian theatre, film, television, particularly radio. So she knows what she's doing.
Absolutely. You can tell her story in the telling of someone else's story, as she tells someone else's
indeed.
Story.
Indeed. I was amazed at how she brought the lines that I had written to life. I mean, I was bowled over by it, actually.
And just through one run-through.
Yeah, yes. Mm. We were absolutely sort of gobsmacked that she was able to pick it up with all the nuances in this one through. I think we did it a second time just in case.
Yeah.
But we didn't have to. Well, I was delighted with the result. It turned out to me to be successful, and I hope the listening audience enjoyed it. Oh, and in fact, you know, gave them something to think about.
Mm. So on that topic, because I know that you have a, as you mentioned, you're involved in theatre here in Sydney, and that is definitely a big part of your life. You've been doing it for a very long time. With a play such as this, when you've already mentioned that that these are issues that you're hoping to get people to think about.
Mm.
Why choose to write a play as opposed to other ways of raising awareness, like campaigning or something? What sort of ability do you think theatre has in touching people and getting them to really think about these issues on a more personal level?
Well, to begin with, theatre sort of doesn't preach as much as it's aimed at entertainment in the first instance. And like any artistic experience, it sheds a vision of difference, of a new way of thinking of things in a different light than if you read it on the page. Theatre brings it to life, as it were, the issue.
And that sort of personal storytelling makes you feel, as a listener, maybe less guarded, perhaps?
Oh, I'd buy that. By the way, I could see this piece of theatre being put on the stage in, for example, Short and Sweet. Are you familiar with Short and Sweet?
Yeah.
Well, it's about 10 minutes, and you could actually do it on stage with the woman, who is the narrator, standing behind the bar, addressing the audience as the stranger who came into the bar.
Yeah,
it could actually work with a good performer. In fact, it would work very well. It has a visual. It could have a visual appeal. In other words,
So what then made you present it to Sonic Tales as a radio play rather than as a stage piece?
Well, I liked the idea of a radio play, which no one was doing, and I was brought up on radio plays, so they were a big feature of my life in the bush. ABC radio plays and on other commercial channels were, I don't think we use the word channels. That sounds like television.
Stations.
Stations, yes. I'm a great believer in radio plays because it all happens in your mind.
Mm.
And so I thought this would be a good way of doing it, I thought. And I always had Moira Salvin in my head to do it because I knew her radio experience would bring it to life, and it did.
Thanks for joining me for tonight's episode of Sonic Tales, the only show where we share with you original radio plays produced right here at Eastside Radio. We hope you enjoyed listening to our feature play this evening, Elegy Delivered in a Country Pub. But if you missed out, don't be alarmed. You can listen to the program again simply by visiting our website, eastsidefm.org/Sonic Tales. Or you can easily subscribe to the Sonic Tales podcast through iTunes. I'd like to thank our guest, Gaz Simpson, for coming on the show and sharing his work with our project. Special thanks also goes to Moya O'Sullivan, Alex Ryder, and to our producer, Jill Folsom. I'm Tegan Nichols, and I've been your host for this evening, and I look forward to your company in 2 weeks' time as we at Sonic Tales share with you another of our favourite original radio plays. Until then, take care and good night.